The show you have selected will start directly after the next message.
If you are passionate about food and how it supports well-being and health, learn more. The Institute for Optimum Nutrition has been training nutritional therapists for 35 years on its highly acclaimed and accredited diploma courses. Start your new career in nutritional therapy, one that will make a difference and help others achieve their health goals. Train with the home of nutritional therapy education. Find us online and give us a call or click on the IOM banner on the UK Health Radio homepage.
Hello and welcome to the Yes to Life show here on UK Health Radio. I'm Robin Daly, founder of the UK charity Yes to Life and the regular host for the show. The Yes to Life show is all about integrative medicine for cancer, an inclusive approach that draws on the very best of both orthodox and complementary and lifestyle medicine to bring every improvement possible to the outcome and quality of life of people with cancer. This leads me to talk to a vast range of fascinating guests on a similarly huge range of topics all around the world. If you listened to my interview with the dynamic Dr. Nasha Winters a few weeks back, you will have heard her talking about a hugely ambitious project she's involved in with an organisation called Believe Big. I was so inspired by what she said that I decided to find out more and contacted the founder of Believe Big, Evelyse Page, who I'm delighted to say has agreed to talk to us for the show today over Skype from the US. Hi Evelyse, thanks so much for agreeing to join us on the Yes Live show today.
Thank you so much for having me, Robin.
Brilliant. So I first heard about you and your amazing plans from another of my recent guests, Dr. Nasha Winters. She told us a bit about your work, but today I hope to find out a whole lot more. So Believe Big is a not-for-profit, that's the US name for what we call a charity here in the UK. Most cancer not-for-profits tend to support conventional treatment or research in some way, but Believe Big is clearly taking a pretty unconventional route. Critics might say that encouraging people with a serious disease like cancer to look outside the box of standard of care is irresponsible. What would you say to them?
I say that everybody's journey is different and that everyone needs to look at their individualized plan and set one for themselves. What works for one person doesn't for another. And I'd also, you know, say I always feel like it's important to respect the conventional oncology department because they do really want to help cure people and to help them feel better. But I just believe that they just don't know. They're not trained, they're not educated on this side of healing that is so important for a patient. And so I always say, you know, when you're confronted with a situation where they tell you it's crazy, you ask questions, you show research, which nowadays there's a lot of research out on mm-hmm. these integrative therapies that can be used. And it's an avenue, I believe, to educate the conventional side on what's available.
Mm. Okay, fair enough. So can we wind the clock back a bit to the start of your journey? Cancer is an area people tend to keep well away from if they possibly can. So how long ago did you get involved in the field and why?
Yeah, so I was a busy mom of four. I actually was homeschooling my kids and working in the evenings. And this was in 2008. And I became so tired that I had to have 3-hour naps daily.
Wow.
And it got to the point once the summer hit and I wasn't teaching. I just thought I was a busy mom and burning the candle at both ends. Mm. And once the summer stopped teaching, I realized that something was definitely wrong. And my husband insisted that I go get checked, and we did, and we went through a series of evaluations. And I actually also have a family history of colon cancer. My father was diagnosed at 37, died at 39. And half of his mother and half of her siblings also had colon cancer.
Wow.
So colon cancer really decimated my father's side of the family. And And so I knew the signs. I knew what to look out for, and yet I didn't experience any of them. So when I was having this extreme fatigue, the doctors thought I had MS, that I had fibromyalgia. We went through a series of things. And at the very end, they said, you know, I know you had a colonoscopy 3 years ago, but let's just do it just to rule that out. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, the test to rule out the cancer ended up discovering that I had, at that point, we thought it was stage 3, but it was actually stage 4 colon cancer.
Wow.
So that started.
Okay, so what happened? I mean, what was your treatment plan? What did you go through, and how long did it take for you to get through that?
Yeah, so, you know, as you can imagine, it was a hurricane of emotions.
And yes.
I thought I was doing everything right. I was eating organic. I was exercising. My husband was in the health and wellness industry for, at that point, you know, close to 15 years. And so, again, how could this have happened? I was doing all the things that my conventional doctors had said, and also on the healthy side. Mm. Later, we found out that I have something called Lynch syndrome, which is a genetic form of colon cancer, which encompasses 3% colon cancer, where typically a polyp grows from a polyp to full-blown cancer in 10 years. Mm. For me, it grew from polyp to full-blown cancer in as little as 36 months.
Wow.
So, you know, knowing all of those things, and later on, it really opened my eyes to things that I have to do differently. But my husband and I, thankfully, we set a plan. He was in the health and wellness industry, so he knew what websites to look at that time. You know, you think now the web has so much information and so many organizations that can help. Mm. But back then, it was very rare to find anything, and very difficult to sift through what was true and accurate. And but thankfully, he knew. And so we actually set up a plan of a diet and supplements. And we actually interviewed 3 different oncologists. They told me one of my appointments, they discovered, as I mentioned, that I indeed was not stage 3. I was actually stage 4.
Right.
I had, at that point, already had my colon resected. I thought I was done and finished. They said I had one lymph node out of 28 affected, so I'm in good shape, but go see the oncologist just to set up a plan and make sure you continue to be healthy. Well, at that appointment, they discovered that it had already spread to my liver, and that set us on a different course. My husband and I had been doing extensive research, and for me personally, I'm very sensitive to medicine and chemicals, and I knew in my gut, I prayed about it and just felt like, for me, chemotherapy was not the avenue I wanted to do. I felt like when I asked him the questions, like I mentioned earlier, I asked him, for my age, for my specific lymph nodes affected, you know, what is the benefit of doing chemotherapy? What are my chances of survival? And what is the chances of survival without it? And he was like, you know, I've never had anyone ask me that question.
Oh, wow.
I was amazed. I was shocked. I thought for sure that the chemotherapy would have been, oh, you have a 60, 75% chance of survival. Mm. Without it, you have 0. We discovered that it was a less than 10% benefit for me.
Right.
To do chemotherapy than to not. And for me and my husband, we just felt like I was burning down a whole forest for one rotten tree.
Right.
And at that point, I had a less than 8% chance of surviving. And I said, I am not going to go that route, even though they insisted that I do. I said, if I have 6 months to live, I'm going to live it out with my family. I'm going to enjoy these last few months, and I'm not going to be in bed sick and weak for an 8% chance, if that it'll help me.
Yeah.
And so in that time, my husband went into research mode, and I went into healing mode and tried to find different alternatives to really help my immune system and my internal environment to fight for itself. I had my liver resected as well.
So just, would you just explain, just for people who don't know the term, can you just explain what that means?
Yeah, so I had to go in for liver surgery because they found 3 spots on my liver, which is what put me at stage 4. They told me that they could do surgery and that they would hope that they could get clear margins. And the good thing about the liver is that it regenerates to what your body needs. So that was good news for me. The bad news, what I was told, is that it is very vascular. And so the chance of something showing up post-op, even as early as 10 weeks out, I had a 75% chance that the cancer would be back 10 weeks later.
Wow.
So, but I felt like if I could get clear margins and I could do that, remove the cancer, that I'm gonna at least go and do that part. So in that interim, right before my surgery, I 2 people from 2 different walks of life had told me about this physician that knew about mistletoe therapy and other things.
Mm-hmm.
I heard about him in the past. And when I had that second person tell me within that same week, I felt like it was a sign from God that I needed to speak to him. I said, I don't believe in coincidences. And so I felt like, okay, I need to set that appointment. And we did. And at that appointment is when he's an MD who specializes in natural medicine,
right,
in homeopathy and mistletoe therapy. And he told me, he said, you guys have a great plan in place. You've changed your diet some, you've added these supplements, which will be really helpful. But he says, but you have cancer and you need something that's going to attack it at that microscopic level, that's going to do the hard work on top of what you're doing. And he goes, and that's where mistletoe comes in.
Right.
And he began to share with me and my husband all the benefits of mistletoe. And, you know, things like it attacks the cancer cells, but not your good cells, like chemotherapy. It helps with apoptosis, where it helps those cancer cells to die off. It helps with energy. You know, when you've gone through surgeries and you have cancer, your energy levels are low. And so that could help with that as well. Tumor-related pain. So many amazing benefits of this amazing plant. Mm. And the shocking thing for me was when I asked him, so what are the side effects? Every medication has side effects,
yes,
right? And they give you 2 pages of them, and I'm like, is it worth it?
Yes.
And so he said, and that was what was so amazing. He said, well, no, actually, mistletoe is a natural substance. And what's great about it is that some people experience a fever, but that's a good thing because it's getting your immune system to rev up. But you won't have any other side effects. Mm. And I was like, done.
Okay, deal.
So I felt nothing to gain and nothing to lose. And so I had my first mistletoe injection on that appointment that I believe helped to change the trajectory of my life.
Mm. Amazing. Well, look, you can't overstate what it's like to be in some of those situations you've just described, like just going along for the checkup and finding out actually you're stage 4, you know, having all your kind of hopes and expectations thrown straight out the window in one go, facing up to having an 8% chance of surviving. These are massive psychological and emotional hurdles to overcome, aren't they?
Yes, very much. And I think I always feel like sometimes the fear, at least for me, when I was going through my cancer journey, I felt like the fear and anxiety, the fear of not seeing my 4 kids grow up.
Right.
The fear of not growing old with my husband. And all of those play a role when you have such a bleak diagnosis. And, you know, thankfully, you know, my husband and I come from a faith background, a Christian faith, and we just really believe that, you know, in this time of this trial that we were going through, that was I going to be led by fear or was I going to live by faith and fight? And, you know, my husband and I battled the questions and decisions that many of your listeners probably mm-hmm. Deal with, all these options that are on the table.
Right.
And what and I just kind of came to the understanding is we really bathed the whole process in prayer. And we kind of said, he said to me, he finally came to the point and said, Evelise, we could do everything right, everything by the book, and you could still die.
Right.
We could do everything wrong, and you could live. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, your life is in God's hands, and the question for us is, do we trust Him no matter how this turns out? Mm-hmm. And that was the question that really I contemplated and thought about, and once I did, I was like, you know what? I do. No matter how this turns out, I win, and things, and it's good. He's for me, and I'm not going to let this cancer be an avenue of fear for me or my family. And thankfully, my husband knew that that was a struggle sometimes on a daily basis. And just because I believed it doesn't mean that I didn't struggle with it.
Right.
And he compiled this beautiful "I will have no fear" prayer, fear prayer for me. And every night, I'd have it in my pocketbook, in my bathroom, and anytime those thoughts would creep in of, your dad didn't make it, why do you think you're going to make it?
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to see your kids walk down the aisle or even graduate. And I would pull out that prayer. It's a Judeo-Christian prayer he compiled. It's all scripture. And I can tell you that at the moment I read the last verse, I was again at peace.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that that was... the mental battle for me was much tougher than the physical battle, but
right.
the prayer helped me to overcome it, and in a big way.
Well, I think that's true for very many people. I think, you know, say people who haven't been there probably don't have that much appreciation of just how challenging it can be. But it's amazing. I really like the fact you've actually distinguished between two things. One is experiencing fear, and the other is responding to it or living from it. And you can experience fear, can't you, without having to have that as the guiding light for your life?
Yes. Mm. Yes.
Very important. So now we come to the more like the end of that chapter. You haven't told us that yet.
Yes. So the good news is, you know, through that process, we learned that it was important to. That it wasn't just one thing that helped me to overcome my cancer journey. It wasn't just the mistletoe. It's not the magic bullet.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just the surgery. It wasn't my diet. It wasn't all the supplements. It was all those things combined.
Right.
It was overcoming that emotional and that mental battle as well. There's so many pieces to that puzzle, and that's why it's important for each individual to set a path for themselves and see, you know, look inside of themselves to say, what areas really do need healing in my life? And I think that that's one of the gifts, if I can say, of cancer, is that it brings you to a point of realizing what areas that you need to strengthen, what areas, what relationships you need healing from. And it helps you to learn so many different things that are available to a patient. And so through that process, my husband and I learned so much, and we realized that there wasn't an organization or anything out there that really helped to guide and provide the resources, at least in the United States, for patients. And so we wanted, we established Believe Big after my cancer journey in 2011.
Okay.
So that patients could have a resource that they could come to website and call us at one place and have everything provided for them. We don't provide medical advice, we just provide resources and give patients the options that are available to them.
Mm.
In all aspects, whether it's physical, spiritual, emotional, and mental.
Right, fantastic. Okay, so this is what obviously I've clicked into the fact that this is a remarkable parallel to Yes to Life over here in the UK. Our aims are very similar indeed, and very inspiring to hear what you've been doing over there. Obviously, your own personal experience has been the seed, if you like, for what you're doing there, as was mine. It looks as though, understandably, quite a bit of what you're doing is a reflection of your own experience going through cancer, and it's like you've experienced the gaps, experienced the needs, all that kind of thing, and you're now setting out to fill those gaps. Am I right?
Yes, definitely. I felt like God spared my life for a reason. And I owed it to those who were coming behind me on this journey, as some did for me, to grab their hand and say, you can make it. It's going to be rocky sometimes. It may be smooth. But you know what? We can help you along this tough journey. And so Believe Big was founded, and we kind of focus on four different things. The first thing is that, you know, we educate individuals on a comprehensive approach to cancer prevention and treatment. Prevention is key. And so, you know, we feel it's really important for those who aren't sick, that don't have cancer diagnosis, to learn about healthy lifestyles and things that they can do to prevent them from getting cancer in the first place. So we do a lot of webinars and wellness classes on that to educate our community. The second thing that we did was that we connect patients with physicians that are trained in mistletoe therapy and nutrition therapy. As for me, I was blessed to have one of those physicians in my state, but I realized that no one else knew about these physicians. And as you mentioned, Dr. Nisha Winter, she was actually one of the pioneers here in the United States, which helped to train now, I believe, over 300 physicians that we work with on mistletoe therapy. Brilliant. That already are familiar with natural medicine. Mm-hmm. And so really important for people to know that they exist. Unless you are connected to someone who is in this natural world, you don't know what your options are. So we wanted to be able to be a resource. And we have a resource on our website that shares by state the physicians that are trained in mistletoe therapy. And then also nutrition therapy. It's not just something that here in the U.S. is very different than the food quality you guys have there in the U.K. But, you know, you go to a nutritionist and they give you information that's not really a therapeutic diet for a cancer patient. So we connect patients to a nutritionist that actually specialize the diet to where they are in their treatment process, what type of cancer they have, what sensitivities they have. Because, again, everybody is different and everybody's diet should look differently depending on what they need and what their body needs. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the resource for them. And we also realized, as for me, I had a tremendous, I thank God every day for my family and my neighbors and my church family and those in my community who came around our family and rallied. I had a business that, a commission-based business, where if my family and community didn't support me in the way that they did, my family probably would have gone under. We wouldn't have been able to pay our bills. We could have lost our house and everything. Mm. But literally, Robin, we found cash underneath our doormat. We found food cards. We found, I mean, it was just amazing. It brings me to tears. And to think that as I sat around in that waiting room and I saw people alone getting treatment, waiting for them, it breaks my heart. And so we said we need to be there for those people so they don't feel alone. Brilliant. And so we also provide wellness grants to help offset the cost of seeing these physicians, so it's not a barrier. And then we also provide something really special, which is the spiritual support and emotional support, which LEMA. We have people throughout the entire United States that go to local pottery stores. They paint a Believe mug, which basically they can design it any way they want. And somewhere on the mug, it has to say only one word, and it's Believe. And then we, once they're glazed and fired, we package them up and they're delivered to the nearest cancer center in their community. And what's great about it is a free gift. And people who receive them know that they're not alone, that someone took the time to paint that for them and to encourage them. We want them that every time they use that for their tea or their coffee, that they are reminded that they're not alone, and that to believe that they can be well, and that nothing's impossible with God. So that's another special aspect of our charity. And the last thing is, after all that I went through with my treatment, my oncologist at the time was one of the lead researchers at Johns Hopkins, and I kept telling him that, mistletoe needs to be available to all patients. It shouldn't just be for the some that happen to find it. And I said, he looked at me, he's like, well, it's not that easy. And I said, he said it can cost hundreds of thousands of millions of dollars to do a clinical trial. In order for mistletoe therapy to become standard of care here in the United States, it needs to have a clinical trial done here in our land. I mean, mistletoe therapy has been around for over 100 years.
Oh, yeah.
And there are hundreds of trials that have been done in Europe and all over the place except for in the U.S. And even though that's happened, unless a trial is done in the U.S., it cannot be offered a standard of care therapy or insurance to cover it. So I told him, I said, well, you know what? And he just kept saying, just keep healing. But at every my appointments, I was like, look, I'm still, there's still no evidence of disease. And he kept saying, I'm cautiously optimistic, cautiously optimistic.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until my 3-year mark that he was like, this is monumental. Okay, let's do this trial.
Brilliant.
And so they started to raise the funds for it. And right now it's ongoing at Johns Hopkins Hospital School of Medicine, the clinical trial, so that it can be hopefully one day available to patients.
It's such amazing news that. And Nature was saying all about that trial. I was blown away. Good for him, the oncologist that actually was able to put his weight behind it eventually. And
yes.
Yeah, but it's so important. But it's also such a tragedy that every country feels they need to do their own trials. They can't just go and look at somebody else's and see whether it was any good or not. You know, it's just ridiculous waste of money, time, everything, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes. And I think that is the reason why we started onto this, you know, Believe Big wants to help those prevent cancer. We want to help those who are on their cancer journey. We want to help the future cancer patients with the trial, right? But that's going to be probably 8 years before it's considered standard of care here.
Yeah.
Once it goes through all the phases of a trial process. And so we felt like we were at a point where we needed to do something different and that would be able to help patients. Everything is kind of a patchwork quilt where you have to go to this person for this therapy, this person for that.
Right.
And it really strained to patients and their families. And thus we started to come together, and we are actually in the process now of creating a fully licensed residential cancer research hospital, state of the art, green certified, so that it will enable the best of modern science and technology along with ancient therapies, you know, that have been procured from around the world. And we started on this process, and we're anticipating this first phase to begin within a 3 to 5 year mark, so that we can help patients in a greater way.
Okay, well, that's the big story here. And I definitely want to talk all about that. Just before going on to that,
sure.
I wanted to talk a little bit about, I noticed on your website that Dr. Kelly Turner likes what you do, and you clearly like what she does as well. And I must say, we're huge fans as well. I think her book's fantastic, her work, and it's one of my favourite things to as an inspiration to people. And it really says some very unexpected things, I think, her research about what really counts. A constant surprise, in a way, she found out and how much people's attention is very often in completely the wrong place.
Yes. Yes, she really, I love that she did her research. And what I love about it is that it's a great resource that anyone can read. I mean, some cancer books that I read, you feel like you need a degree to get through 2 pages.
Right, yes.
But her book is very, I read it in 2 days. It's fantastic. And for those who don't know about her book, it's basically, she did a 10-year search, and she interviewed over, I believe, 2,000 natural healers and patients on why these patients who had a less than 25% chance of survival are still here today. And found that there are 9 key factors that attributed to every single patient. And it's funny that when, as I got her book and I looked at the chapter, I'm like, yep, yes, 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 yes,
right.
Those all applied to me as well. She gives such great practical advice, but then also backs it with science as well for the physicians that you may be interacting with that you can show them.
Mm. Well, yes, you were able to look at it, as you say, from your own personal perspective and see how aligned it was with your own experience, which is it was very interesting. But, you know, the thing that jumps out at me every time I refer back to that book is how, yeah, there are 9 things out of, I think there are about 80 or 90 that people actually said they did. But there were these 9 that everybody said they did. And 7 of those are not really sort of physical steps at all. They're much more to do with the psychological, emotional, and spiritual life.
Yes. Yes.
that's pretty astounding, isn't it?
Yeah, which is why conventional medicine alone does not work, and it's not changing the ability to increase the cancer statistics in our world. You know, it's heart so sad to hear that, you know, 1 in 2 men and 1 in 2.5 women, I believe, will get cancer in their lifetime.
I know.
I mean, it's just outrageous. And I think it's because if we zero in on just the physical, you're not healing the whole person and getting to the root cause of disease. Mm. At least here in the U.S., I said, you know, we do an excellent job at diagnosing and surgery and prescribing.
Right.
But we never get to the root cause of disease. And her book, you know, shares those factors, which are so important.
Mm. Great. Okay, so now on to the big story, your plans. So, yeah, it's got a big name, the Big Institute of Health. Enormously ambitious project. I understand Nasha Winters is a key advisor to that project. So do you want to start off with the headline objectives, with the big picture of what you're wanting to achieve?
Yeah, so, you know, Nasha is actually one of the founders.
Okay.
So she's we're in a team of 5 amazing individuals that, you know, have come together that have had the same vision. And it's just amazing that we all did. And all with different talents and abilities. So Nasha's the physician side. She knows all the latest research in hospitals and treatments. We have Effie Halakos, who is a pharmacist, mm-hmm. and she has a master's degree in herbalism. And she's getting her PhD in molecular biology and genetics, which is so important in the aspect of data aggregation and data collection and artificial intelligence and all those things that are going to help us to really have the data necessary to really move into the next season.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Debbie Lee, who, you know, she managed complex projects. She actually served in the biopharma industry, and she led a management consulting practice. So she has an incredible business sense. So, and then of course, my husband, who ran full-scale health and wellness facilities for many years with integration of sports performance and fitness and rehabilitation.
Right.
So all these minds together have kind of come together with their gifts. And the main things for this center are really a place where patients can come and heal in one place. It is a place where they'll come for 2 to 3 weeks. It's not like a traditional hospital where you'll stay until, you know, you're released. It's really a place where you can come, get all the different therapies that you need in one place.
Mm-hmm.
And unlike traditional hospitals, you know, it'll have food and farming. So you'll be served organic meals, believe
Yay.
It or not,
Yay.
In your room. The food, it will be just as important. And then it'll also have a teaching kitchen where our patients can and the public can even come and learn about how to eat, how to cook well, what foods are important. It'll be in a nature-dense environment so that patients can rest, they can restore, and they can heal. Not in these busy cities where you hear sirens all the time. You really need to be in a place of healing. So it'll definitely be in a nature-dense environment.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, we'll do personalized testing, precise treatment itinerary. We'll look at comprehensive biomarkers so that they can take home recommendations to continue their progress locally and return as often as they needed. And then also, we always believe that prevention is the best cure, as Nasha's motto is. She says, And so we want health-minded individuals to come for wellness retreats. They're going to gain insight into their metabolic state and go home as well with an effective plan to help them thrive. And they'll be refreshed physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Mm-hmm. So there'll be a wellness component to it, and then there'll also be a healing component as far as cancer, those who have cancer.
Mm. Well, I've got to say that the plan that you have on your website, which says it's just part of the facility you have in mind, is stupendous. it'll be really a revolutionary step to create a facility like this, and I kind of suspect you're going to have people from around the planet queuing up to get in. It's going to be an enormous undertaking financially, though. Where do you think the capital for a project like this is going to come from? And then how will it be financed ongoingly, the running costs?
Yeah, so we're actually working. This is still in the very beginning stages. Nothing like this exists anywhere in the world right now. And so we are really putting together the pro forma and the business plan, isolating all those different components so that it can be run efficiently and effectively. We are really trusting God as far as the finances are in place and those who are investing. We have some individuals that have contacted us that are interested in philanthropy, and we will be having discussions with them as we move forward. So again, we're still at the very beginning stages of it, but it's looking great.
Mm. Well, you know, enormously impressive what you're trying to do there, and let me know when it's up. I'll come over and check it out, have to see for myself.
Your wife will be one of the first guests. Again, it's part of that mindset of what is possible.
Yes.
And I feel like, just like with your cancer diagnosis, overcoming the negativity from what people say or what you hear, what you read. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't tell you how many times when Believe Big was in the midst of doing the mistletoe trial with Johns Hopkins and you know, and raising the funds for it to raise $500,000, people were like, it'll never happen.
Yeah.
It'll never happen. It'll never follow through. And I just kept believing and knowing what God had put on my heart. And I was like, you know what, when God gives you a vision, he'll also provide the provision. And so, and he did. And amazingly, as with the clinical trial, we actually got the start of the trial was accepted by Johns Hopkins on Christmas Eve, which I think is amazing. Mm. that the mistletoe trial was all go ahead, green lights on Christmas Eve. So same thing with this. It's a huge project. It's a huge undertaking. It's going to be an enormous amount of investment. But again, I really believe that God's giving all of us this vision, and I know that he's going to make it a reality.
Well, I'm certainly wishing you the very, very best of luck with it. It's brilliant. It needs to happen. And all speed to you. One last question that some people may wonder about. You make no secret of the fact that you're a devoted Christian. And I'm just interested to know whether this has any impact on the people of other beliefs or of no belief at all who come to you for help.
Yes, we get that question, and I always believe that more is said by how you love than by what you say. And we help everyone and anyone who comes to Believe Big. We've helped all faiths, genders, young and old, who come to Believe Big. So this will be a place for everyone. Our resources will be faith-based, but nothing will be imposed upon an individual. It'll be a place where they can truly receive healing. But everyone and anyone would always be welcome and will be welcomed.
Great. All right. Thank you for that. Do you want to just to give out the website address for all of this?
Yes, please. Yeah, so our website, it is www.believebig.org. And if you have some listeners that really want to be a part of this future for the Believe Big Institute of Health, we would love their support in any way, whether financially or with their time or whatever it may be. You can also gain more information on the BelieveBig.org website towards this initiative.
Mm. All right. Thank you so much for talking to us today about everything you're doing, Evelise. Amazing. I think you realise just how excited I am personally to find another organisation operating in such a kind of parallel way to Yes to Life over there. It's a bit of a first for me to find somebody else doing the same kind of thing as we are, and with these amazing plans as well. So I really hope to keep in touch with you on progress and to look for any ways we might collaborate in the future.
Yes, definitely. You guys are definitely on the same page. I appreciate all that you're doing for patients in the UK. And I always say we're better together. So
absolutely.
I'll definitely get conversations.
Thank you very much, Evelise.
All right. You have a great day.
I urge you to take a look at the Believe Big website at their extraordinary plans for the Believe Big Institute of Health. Big is the right word for their ambitions. We certainly need an initiative like this to put integrative medicine more solidly on the map, and it's particularly heartening to hear how they plan to build in data collection and metrics right at the outset so that the outcomes of their initiative will be measured and can support further integration. Thanks very much for listening today. I hope you enjoyed our chat and will make a point of tuning in to UK Health Radio again next week for another Yes to Life show. Goodbye. Thank you.